and walked out on everyone he knows.
Yes, said Arsuk. It was in the paper.
Tell me why, said Mannering. Why would he do that?
I not know, said Arsuk.
You are playing a very stupid hand. Both of you, said Mannering. I'll ask you one last time, and I'll spell it out slowly so you understand. A very large fortune has recently come into play, hidden in a dead man's house. All of it, every last flake of it, had been smelted and stamped with the word Aurora. That's the signature of me old friend Quee here, and if he denies it, he can rot in hell. Now, what I want to know is this. Did that gold really come from the Aurora, or did it not? You ask him that, yes or no?
Arsuk put this question to Arqui, who decided, given the gravity of the circumstances, to respond with the truth. Yes, he had found a bonanza, and no, it had not come from the Aurora, though when he smelted the gold he had stamped it with the gold mine's name, in order to ensure that the profits, at least in part, would return to him. He explained that, strange as it sounded, he had found the gold on Anna Wetherill's person, sewn into the seams of her gown. He had first discovered it nearly 6 months ago, and had deduced, after some thought, that Anna must be trafficking the metal on behalf of someone else. He knew that Anna Wetherill was Mannering's girl. He also knew that Mannering had falsified his own financial records before. It was reasonable to conclude, therefore, that Mannering was using Anna Wetherill as a method of transporting gold out of the gorge in order to evade duty at the bank.
"What's he saying?" said Mannering. "What's his answer?"
"He's telling a frightfully long story," said Frost. He was, and it was Arsuk's turn to be enthralled. Anna Wetherill had been concealing a bonanza. Anna, whom Mannering would not permit to carry even a purse upon her person for fear of thieves. He could not believe it.
Arqui continued. He could not forget his earlier grievance with Dick Mannering, for it was explicitly by Mannering's hand that he was now forced to remain indentured to a duffer claim. Here was a chance both to get his revenge and earn his freedom. Arqui began inviting Anna Wetherill back to his hut each week, always when she was addled with opium, for upon leaving Arsuk's hut she was always very sleepy and stupid. Most often she fell asleep within moments after her arrival, lulled by the heat of Arqui's stove. This suited Arqui. Once Anna was arranged comfortably upon the brick bed of his stove, he took her dress apart with a needle and thread. He replaced the tiny nuggets around her hem with leaden make-weights, so that she would not notice the sudden lightness of the fabric when she woke. If she stirred in her sleep, he held a cup of strong liquor to her lips and encouraged her to drink it down. Arqui tried to describe how the gold had been hidden in the flounces of Anna's gowns, but with Mannering's arm still around his body, he could not supplement his description with gestures, and therefore turned to metaphor in order to describe how the metal had been sewn into her corset and around her bustle, like a suit of armour, he said. And Arsuk, who was always pleased by poetic expressions, smiled. Anna had four dresses in all, Arqui said, each containing, in his estimation, roughly £1,000 worth of pure ore. Arqui worked until each dress was empty, smelting every last flake of the dust into his signature blocks, and inscribing each one with the name of the claim to which he was bound, quite as though he had come upon it honestly and legally in the gravel pit of the Aurora. For a time, he added, he was very happy. Once his surety had been repaid, he could return to Guangzhou at last, and as a wealthy man.
Well,
Mannering said to Arsuk, stamping his foot with impatience,
what's the story? What's he saying?
But Arsuk had forgotten his role as translator. He was gazing at Arqui in wonderment. The story was incredible to him. Thousands of pounds. Anna had been concealing thousands of pounds about her person for months. That was a fortune large enough to retire a dozen men, if not more, in luxury. Anna might have purchased the entire beachfront with that kind of sum, and even then she would have money to spare. But where was that fortune now? In the next moment, Arsuk understood.
Se Chin Si Chan,
he breathed. So the fortune that Arqui had lifted from Anna's dress had ended up, by some caprice or misdirection, in the possession of the hermit Crosbie Wells. But what was this misdirection in aid of, and who was to blame?
"Speak English!"
Mannering shouted.
"Speak English, damn you!"
Suddenly very excited, Arsuk asked Arqui how the fortune might have come to end up hidden in Wells' cottage. Arqui replied bitterly that he did not know. He had never heard the name Crosbie Wells before that afternoon. As far as he knew, the last person to touch the retorted fortune was the Aurora's current owner, Emery Staines. And Staines, of course, was nowhere to be found. Arqui explained that it was Staines who took the Aurora's returns from the camp station to the reserve bank at the end of every month, a duty that had plainly not been carried out.
"All I'm hearing is noise and nonsense," said Mannering. "If you don't tell me what it's all about, Johnny Sook, I'm telling you—"
"They've finished talking," said Frost. "Just wait." Arsuk was frowning. Did Emery Staines really steal from his own vault, only to stash the smelted fortune in a hermit's cottage 12 miles away? Where was the method in that? Why would Staines steal his own fortune, only to gift it to another man?
"I'll give you the count of five,"
Mannering said. His face was purple.
"Five!"
Arsuk looked at Mannering at last, and sighed.
"Four!"
"I tell you,"
Arsuk said, holding up his palms. But what a lot there was to tell, and how few words he possessed to contain the explanation. He thought for a moment, trying to remember the English word for armour, in order to preserve the poetic metaphor that Arqui had used. At last he cleared his throat and said,
"Bonanza not from Aurora. Anna wear secret armory, made of gold. Qui long find secret gold armory that Anna wear. Qui long try to bank armory gold as Aurora gold. Then Staines thief from Qui long."
Dick Mannering, naturally enough, misunderstood this.
"So the Bonanza wasn't from anywhere in the Aurora," he repeated. "Emery made a strike somewhere, but he kept it secret until Qui here discovered it. Then Qui tried to bank Emery's gold against the Aurora, so Mr. Staines took it back."
That was confounding. Arsuk began talking rapidly to Arqui in Cantonese, which Mannering evidently interpreted as a sign of assent.
"Where is Mr. Staines now?" he demanded. "Stop with your other questions, ask him that. Where is Mr. Staines now?"
Obediently, Arsuk broke off and relayed the question. This time Arqui responded in a tone of patent distress. He said that he had not spoken with Emery Staines since December,